Holy God, parent and protector of all creation, we call to you this day to calm the storms of our minds that we may hear your words this day. Ease the waves of our hearts that we may truly live and spread the good news. This we ask in the name of your Son, who is with us even in our times of great fear. Amen. I want to take you somewhere. I want you to close your eyes. It was a dark and stormy night. I was walking through the woods by myself, nothing but a flashlight. Lightning struck, and it must have been close because thunder rolled all around me. I'm being chased. I can feel it, but I can't seem to see who or what is after me. There, something out of the corner of my eye. I swear I saw that bush move. Maybe it was the wind. But then the bush to my other side shakes. So I turn the flashlight on it. Before I get a good look on whatever it is that's making the bush shake, the flashlight goes out. Just my luck. So I twist off the top, then I twist it back on. I bang the bottom a few times, and success, the light flickers. I see that directly in front of me, mouth open, teeth bared, a raptor. And I woke up. You can all do the same. It was all just a nightmare. You see, the day before I had watched the first Jurassic Park for the first time, and I had a nightmare that night. This was years ago, not the most recent movie, years and years and years ago when I was a kid, not as an adult. It hadn't scared me when I watched the movie at the time. I loved the movie. I loved dinosaurs, so I loved Jurassic Park. But there's something primal, something instinctual about a dark and stormy night. And there's something deeply frightening about being chased in the dark and not being able to see your pursuer. Fears have been a part of humanity since the first human saw that bolt of lightning, since the first child was alone in the dark. Fears make us wary. Fears keep us safe because they drive us to protect that which is most precious to us, our lives. So what sort of things do you think people are most afraid of? Spiders, lightning, heights, closed spaces? The dark? Don't feel silly if you're afraid of the dark. It's the one thing that most people are afraid of, the dark, or at least sometimes in their life, they're afraid of it. And what do you do when you come up against these fears? Do you close your eyes and count to 10? Do you take a flashlight under the sheets? When I woke up from that raptor-induced dream years ago, what I did was I got up, I ran around my father's home, I turned on all the lights, and then I found a nice bright corner so that I could see everything coming at me from all directions. I felt safe there. These are the things that we do when we're afraid, whether we're kids or adults. Maybe we climb into a closet till the thunder stops. Natalie's afraid of thunder and lightning. In our gospel reading today, we hear of a whole group of adults who were afraid. You see, after a long day of learning and listening to Christ teach about the kingdom of God through parables, the disciples and Jesus decided to take a boat ride to relax. I mean, it was a nice enough day. There wasn't much time for relaxing. Very shortly after leaving the shore, a windstorm came up, and it was so bad that the boat was already filling with water. And they were afraid. But what's so scary about a storm? I mean, there's just wind and waves. And these are a bunch of fishermen, aren't they? They should know how to handle this sort of thing. Well, just like we fear the monsters under our beds or in our closets, people in those days were very wary of spirits who lived in bodies of water. When storms came upon the lakes like the one that Jesus and his disciples were on, people were afraid that they had upset the spirits of that place, that they'd angered them somehow. They thought that the storm itself was actually a living thing out to hurt them. So they responded like many of us would when we're afraid. They panicked. They went looking for help. So you see, fears, they affect people no matter when they lived, where they are, and how old they are. Our fears are a part of who we are. And there are so many different kinds of things to be afraid of. We can be afraid of those things that we can see, like lightning, or things that we can hear, like thunder, or things that we can feel, like the winds and the waves. But we can also be afraid of those things that we can't see, like a room that's pitch black. Sometimes that's the worst thing to be afraid of, because we are left to imagine what is in the room with us. Or maybe we fear death, because though we have a faith that there is something beyond this physical existence, we can never really be sure. And sometimes we're scared stiff by the future, by what tomorrow might hold. Sometimes those things that we can't see are the scariest of all, because we start to imagine worst-case scenarios, and we become anxious. In these times, our mind becomes our worst enemy, because we lose control of our imagination, and we let the what-ifs take over. What if there's something dangerous in the dark with me? What if the afterlife isn't what I expect it to be? What if the church isn't here tomorrow? In our Hebrew scripture reading today, we see that the Israelite army had to deal with a lot of different kinds of fears, some they could see and some that they couldn't. They saw a big army that was out to hurt them. They saw the giant of a man, Goliath, and were terrified. I mean, this guy was 6 cubits and a span. Does anybody know how tall that is? Just off the top of their heads? This is like Sunday school stuff, people. 9 feet 9 inches. 9 feet 9 inches. That is literally a giant. Well, to me. But what they couldn't see, what the Israelites couldn't see, was just as bad, because they faced defeat, possible death, an uncertain future, possibly as servants. Like anyone who is afraid, unsure of what to do or where to go, they froze. They weren't sure how to deal with Goliath. He was too big. And they weren't sure how to deal with the future that was coming right at them, because it was too big. But in light of the fears of the disciples and the fears of the Israelite army, how should we deal with our fears? When hiding in a closet isn't working, when closing our eyes and counting to 10 doesn't make the monsters go away, what else can we do when those things we fear are chasing us like a raptor in my dream? We face them. Maybe not raptors. Don't face raptors. They'll win. But when it comes to our fears, they only have power over us while we run from them. And facing them doesn't mean that we're not afraid anymore. It just means that we're accepting that we're afraid and standing our ground anyway, not accepting the uncertainty. So what does it take for us to face those big, bad fears? Do we need to be big? Do we need to be strong? What will it take for us to face Goliath? What will it take for us to face the future? We learned last week from our Samuel reading that God needs more than just those things that we can see. I'm sure that out of all those disciples on that boat, all those fishermen, one of them was a strong man. Fishermen their whole lives, they are used to hard work, they're used to storms. And I'm sure out of that entire Israelite army, There was one who was big. Maybe not Goliath big, but a big, strong guy. But all the disciples cried out in fear at the sight of the storm. And all of the army froze in terror at the sight of the giant that was Goliath. Well, as we heard from last week, David was neither big nor was he very strong. But he had the courage and the faith to go to King Saul and say, "I will fight Goliath." Seeing the bravery in this young man, King Saul is moved to dress David in his bronze helmet and fine coat of armor and give him his sword. But try as he might, David could not move in that armor. He was too small, and he wasn't strong. He couldn't even take a step. You see, David was not only weighed down by the heavy armor, but by the ways of the old king. God chose David because he was different, because he was unique. So in shrugging off the armor, he was shrugging off the ways of the old king. In essence, we are called to do the same thing. When we are faced with something that fills our hearts with fear, a future which seems uncertain, we can't just go into survival mode. We can't keep running forever. We can't close our doors and hope that that scary future will go away. Like David shrugging off the ways of the old king, we are called to shrug off the old ways of dealing with our fears, because the reality is that God is calling us to face some pretty scary stuff. More scary, perhaps, than the storm, more scary, perhaps, than Goliath, is our future. God is calling us, and indeed all Christians, to new forms of ministry, to new ways of spreading the good news of God's love for all. And all that we need to face that future, that scary future, is what David had. A little courage, a lot of faith, and the eagerness to follow God no matter where it leads us. And so, when we do get scared, and when we start to feel that storm of fear rising in us, remember the gospel reading today. Christ was with his disciples, and with a word, he calmed the winds and the waves. From time to time, when you're frightened, when you're overwhelmed, close your eyes. Listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit in those moments of chaos, and face what may come, knowing that indeed you are not alone, because God is with you. And yes, even in the dark. Amen.